You just heard a cut from the Broadway version of Dancing Queen as sung by the cast of Mamma Mia. That and the entire song list for Mamma Mia were hits first in the 1970s when the Swedish pop group ABBA put them on the charts. I don't remember that. Some 25 years later, they inspired the fictional story behind Mamma Mia, making it the first so-called jukebox musical. Broadway productions that take hit rock and pop songs from bygone days to tell a story today. Joining me in the studio are two of the performers from the touring company of Mamma Mia, now playing at the Palace Theater through Sunday. Allison Ewing has appeared in the Broadway touring and Paris companies of Cabaret. In Mamma Mia, she plays Tanya, one of the two best friends of the main character, Donna, and my personal favorite character, so I was very excited. Welcome to the show, Allison.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And Ethan Leif Mong has appeared in the national and touring companies of Miss Saigon and in productions of Les Mis and Rent. In Mamma Mia, he plays Pepper, a young man who pursues Allison's character, Tanya, in the story. Welcome to the show, Ethan.
Well, hello.
My two favorite characters. It's very, very much of a comedy sketch with you guys pretty much throughout. I was saying earlier before we went on the air that I've seen the movie, now I've seen this production. It feels earthier. I want to use the word grittier in a good way. Mm-hmm. As I said, it feels like you feel the sand between your toes here. Why do you think that is, Ethan?
I think it's communication and connections. I remember during rehearsals, Allison and I would always banter when we weren't rehearsing, you know, trying to get to know each other and learning each other tics and movements and using that and throwing our improvisation into our scenes and finding what works and finding what makes me laugh first, and then hopefully it reads for everybody else.
Yeah, he always made me feel really comfortable from the very first rehearsal, and when I walked into rehearsal, I thought, I hope I have chemistry with, you know, the guy playing Pepper, and I don't know what that's going to be like. And then I saw him, and I was like, oh, immediately just relaxed and having fun and giggling all the time.
Mm-hmm. So you worry about that. I mean, when they're casting things like this, they must be thinking about that too.
Yeah, no? I mean, I guess, but a lot of it is just kind of a crapshoot as far as, you know, I hope these people have chemistry together. It's not always that you are auditioning with the person that you're cast with. You know, I certainly did not audition with Kay Tuckerman and Mary Callanan or Ethan. I wasn't in auditions with them. And so they just kind of, they have to use their kind of instincts as to who they think will work well together.
And your character is very complicated because you have a lot of different roles you're playing. You're playing one of the best friends of the lead character, mm-hmm. Auntie, to the daughter. Yep. You're playing a romantic interest, you know, one way or the other, to Pepper. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of nuance there that you've got to embrace.
Yeah, I have to have this sort of like friendship vibe that goes way, way back with these two other women. And, you know, you have to have a sense of how much history they've had with each other. And you also have to, you know, have this kind of like romantic chemistry with a younger man. And so you have to kind of have that kind of cougar thing going on. And, you know, then you have to have fun with the music and also have this reminiscent rock star thing going on too. So, you know, it's fun to play all those different things.
My guests are Allison Ewing and also Ethan Leif Mong. They're both performers in the touring company of Mamma Mia. It'll be at the Palace through Sunday. And I want to let people know about the Mamma Mia touring cast is presenting Broadway Babes in Toyland. It's a cabaret tonight at 11:30 p.m. at the Level Dining Lounge. There's a $10 donation at the door because all proceeds benefit Huck House, a safe place for runaway youth in Columbus. For more information, go to our website at WOSU.org/allsides, and we'll have all that information down there for you. There's not a website we can send you to otherwise. So go to WOSU.org/allsides. And find out how you can see the cast up close and personal on tonight at 11:30. If you have a question for our guests, give us a call, 614-292-8513. Mamma Mia is considered by many to be the perfect musical sing-along show. So what's your favorite song out there, listeners? What do you like to, you know, when it comes to Mamma Mia, what's your favorite? Give us a call. Tell us your story. Have you seen Mamma Mia in Columbus before? I think this is the third time, second or third, maybe more. Are you?
He's counting on his fingers.
I think it's the fourth time. Okay. The last time it was 2009.
Okay. And if you've seen it here or somewhere else, give us a call and tell us your favorite scene or song. 614-292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can go to the Facebook page, and you can tweet me at AnnFisherWOSU2 if you want. Throughout the show, this was sort of the last thing I wrote down when I was preparing my questions at the very top. It felt like a holiday, and it's like a holiday show. Why do you think?
Gosh, I don't know. I guess the celebration of a marriage and family, you know, it brings family together, and it's a show about family and what family really is in the end. So I think, you know, we think about that when it comes closer to the holiday times.
And it's a wedding. So it is a celebration of togetherness. And the great thing about the show, it happens in 2 days. So everybody's frantically getting everything done with the big celebration at end. It's a great dance number. you always end a holiday with a dance number.
What's the atmosphere like when you're on stage? Are you having fun? You talked about improvisation. Is there a lot of that going on? And is it just?
Yeah, there's moments in the show where there are leeways where we can express things outside of the book, and I think it keeps everybody on their toes.
Waiting to make sure that you're responding according to what
listening
they actually...
and responding.
Yeah, I mean, we have a great time up there. Sometimes a little too much, but you know, we keep it together and keep truth to the plot. But yeah, we have a great time and you know, we really are a family, all of us, and we know each other very, very well. And there's nothing like being on stage during a live performance in front of, like, sometimes 4,000 people to bring you together.
As I said earlier, Allison plays Tanya, a middle-aged woman, 3 times divorced, and Ethan Pepper, a young man who pursues the much older Tanya throughout the musical. In this clip from the movie version of Mamma Mia, Tanya sings the song Does Your Mother Know to Pepper. Let's listen.
There's that look in your eyes.
What a great song. You guys were starting to...
I love that song.
dance to it, baby, or...
Right. Actually, we have a great story for this. During our rehearsal...
Yes.
We were rehearsing Does Your Mother Know, and all of a sudden, Kristen Baranski from the movie walks in, and she peeks out the door and says, "Hi, I'm just across the way auditioning for a voice thing, and I... knew you guys were rehearsing, so I just wanted to drop in." And it, like, the universe was, it was just in sync. Here we are rehearsing for Does Your Mother Know, and she walks
in. She walks in.
And she sat for a little bit and watched, and we, you know.
I was like, oh, my gosh. I have to be spot on. But the truth was, I wasn't, because we were just learning the steps to the song. So I was kind of fumbling around, and everybody was kind of looking at me like, look who's watching you.
How wonderful, and yet how frightening nerve-wracking.
Yeah, it was fun, though. Yeah. She was like, oh, gosh, this brings back memories of doing the movie and, like, trying to do these steps, like, actually on sand. And, you know, so it was pretty cool to have her there for a second.
Yeah, that's a very physical song. It's not just the dancing, but just the whole way you're throwing yourselves at each other. And
especially
away
for Ethan, who has to do toe touches every single night.
Yeah.
They're fun.
Yeah.
Do they kind of warm you up throughout to get ready to do the kind of things you're going to be doing?
Athletic? I do. My show, I don't stop warming up until that number. Once the show starts, everybody will see me stretching backstage. That's just my warm up for that scene. I try not to do anything that's not going to hinder my performance. So the more I'm flexible and relaxed, then I can.
Yeah.
The more so than the movie, and for very specific reasons, the stage is so much fun. It's real. I mean, there's humor in the story. The story has humor in it, but just the way they use the chorus. It's when the guys come out in their diving suits.
Everybody loves that. Yeah.
What song is that, or what part of it? Is that the very beginning, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in the first act. It's
Lay All Your Love.
Lay All Your Love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's things, and then of course there's the dream sequence.
Right, Under Attack.
That's great. At first, everybody was saying, "Oh my gosh, what are these costumes we have to wear?" But when you put it all together into this kind of really funny nightmare, it just looks incredible on stage, and you know, it's the colors, and it's just really silly and fun.
Yeah, and I think the costume in Under Attack alone with the dream sequence, it has that uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, stress factor for Sophie in you know, with her dilemma for that day.
Mm-hmm. At first, I couldn't figure out what the stuff was on the people's heads, and I realized it was the girls, and you know, the girls and the guys. You know?
The
got the gender.
Yes.
The dream sequence scuba outfits.
Yeah.
You know? She's swimming around her thoughts and her search for to find her real father.
Mm-hmm. Alyssa in Clintonville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Alyssa.
Hi, thanks. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Well, I was just calling because I just wanted to say that Mamma Mia was the first musical I ever saw here in Columbus.
How great.
I saw it with my mom, and we won tickets. Actually, I think my aunt won tickets, but she couldn't go, so we got to go.
Yay!
And, yeah, and we got like a rose or something. I don't remember. It was a long time ago, but I loved it. The minimalistic set and everything and how much fun it was. And then later when I was graduating college, that was around the time the movie was coming out, so my mom and I watched it together and had a little nostalgic moment. So,
oh, great.
Yeah, great memories.
What's your favorite song?
Slipping Through My Fingers is the one that my mom and I really connected over.
Yeah.
Is that,
yeah.
I mean, is that the title of it? Yeah. So I remember watching it, and I was, like, crying in the corner of the couch, and she was like, "Are you okay?" And I was like,
yeah, it's a really tender song about mother and daughter and, you know, growing up and
yes.
All of us in rehearsals cried as well. Like mm-hmm. when we did our first run through in the rehearsal space, a lot of people were sitting along the sidelines weeping.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. you know, if with that song, it's a mother and daughter relationship, but it connected to me last year because right after last year Christmas, my uncle passed away. So the first time I came back into the show and watching the show again, that song, I was just sitting off the wings and I was like tearing up and I was like, wait, I have another scene coming up. I gotta wipe my tears and go out there and make them laugh.
It affects them too, Alyssa.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Affects everybody.
Yep, even now.
Have you seen it this time around?
No, I haven't. So do you guys have any free tickets?
I like
good
the
question.
Way you think.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. The traveling Broadway, the touring Broadway production of Mamma Mia is in town. It's at the Palace Theater through Sunday. With us right now, Ethan Lee Fong. He's a performer in the touring company. And also Allison Ewing. With him, if you have a question or comment for them, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have more music and more conversation coming up, so stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Time is running out for you to make your 2011 tax-deductible contribution to 89.7 NPR News. Our goal is to raise an additional $50,000 by December 31st. Pledge at WOSU.org/2011 or by phone at 866-897-9678. Your gift is tax-deductible and supports the programs that you hear on 89.7 NPR News. Happy holidays and Happy New Year from WOSU Public Media. And thanks for your support. 57 degrees in downtown Columbus. Expect rain off and on throughout the day today. And steady temperatures right around 57. Cloudy skies tonight, cooling off to a low of 31 degrees. Sunny for Friday, a cooler day with a high of just 39. Partly cloudy Friday night, a low of 28. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
welcome back to All Sides. Mamma Mia, the touring show, will be at the Palace Theater in Columbus through Sunday. For more information or to purchase tickets, go to palace-theater.com. And get that there. We'll have that on our website at wosu.org/allsides as well. And also I want to remind people that the Mamma Mia touring cast presents Broadway Babes in Toyland, a cabaret, tonight at 11:30 p.m. at the Level Dining Lounge. And there's a $10 donation at the door because all proceeds benefit Huck House, a safe place for runaway youth in Columbus. For more information, go to our website at wosu.org/allsides and check that out. Once again, with us for the next 20 minutes is Allison Ewing. She's appeared in Broadway touring and Paris companies of cabaret. In Mamma Mia, she plays Tanya, one of the two best friends of the main character, Donna. And also Ethan Lee Fong. He's appeared in the national and touring companies of Miss Saigon and in productions of Les Mis and Rent. In Mamma Mia, he plays Pepper, a young man who pursues Allison's character, Tanya. Questions or calls, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. In the next song, because we got to have to do more music, is in this song, the daughter in the story, Sophie, sings Gimme Gimme, A Man After Midnight during her bachelorette party. Actually, everyone's singing the night before her wedding. So let's listen to a clip from the movie version. Mm. That's so produced. When you hear it in person, mm-hmm. from a live performance, it's just richer.
Yeah.
It's louder, too.
It's much louder, but again, that's that production thing. It's very produced, and yeah, whenever every bit of music we've put on so far, you guys immediately fall into some kind of routine there.
I wish I were in that number, actually. I love, sometimes we have monitors backstage, and when I'm actually changing into a different costume during that number. And I love to watch the girls on stage, and I wish I could do the choreography with them because it's really, truly a number where they get to cut loose. The ensemble has such a hard job because they're always singing backups backstage. All the backup vocals you hear, it's not a track. It's the women and men of the
ensemble
singing.
I was going to ask you about that.
So it is like a number where they actually get to come to the front of the stage and just show how they can really dance and just belt their voices out really great.
It's a good show-off number.
I wish I were in it, really.
Let's see. David in Lucasville. Hi, David. You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good, good. I just wanted to make a comment. I've seen the Mamma Mia production several times, and we'll be seeing it in Columbus. And I just wanted to say what a fine job that everyone's doing performing the ABBA songs and keeping them alive, for the last 30-plus years. It's really nice to see, and I'm very glad that it came to Columbus.
Oh, great.
Thank you.
Thanks. See, we're glad to be here.
Right.
I've been a fan since I was about 8 years old, and still am, actually.
Of the music?
Of the music, yeah. And when Mamma Mia first came out, it was very very nice to see. Well, a global smash, actually. Mm-hmm. So I'm not the only one.
David, if you were a longtime fan of the music, what was your first impression of the story, of the book, of the show, and how they use the music?
I really embraced it because, all of the songs that they have such a wide, catalog of music that Ian Bjorn do, along with Agnetha and Frida singing and stuff, and I thought that they put everything really well together, to make the story. It was very romantic and just very positive and very clean and good and tidy.
Yeah.
I really, really, really liked it, and a lot of other people do, too, so.
Yeah, it's great. It is. That's good words, clean and tidy. Because, I mean, it's just it. It brings it down to a simple story. Yet it uses the. I mean, can you believe that all of that music could make a story. Who would have thought? That's sort of really brilliant, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and so timeless as well, you know, and I think, you know, in today's age, we really need, you know, well-written music like that, you know, that you can adapt a story to and you know, make so many people happy and make, you know, allow so many people to have, you know, insight to, you know, what their music is about and what the story is about, too. And I just think it's marvelous, and I can't wait to see it again.
David, what's your favorite song?
My favorite song is kind of an obscure song. It's called So Should I Laugh or Cry. That's my favorite ABBA song, but my all-time favorite song from Mamma Mia would have to probably be Dancing Queen.
Of course, of course.
Yeah, it gets everyone going, young and old, and I've seen it do marvelous things for people ever since it came out a long time ago. So, yeah, that's probably my favorite. It always makes me want to get up and dance.
Okay. Yay. All right. Thank you very much, David. Thanks for listening.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I kind of get reintroduced to ABBA with Muriel's Wedding, the movie. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yes.
But where it kind of put a human being, the idea of it, because ABBA always seemed sort of plastic, you know, in the 70s. And a lot of it was like that in the 70s anyways. What about you, Allison? What was your first impressions of ABBA growing up and hearing it that way?
Well, I mean, I never had any of their music, but I knew most of it, of course, because it's, you know, you walk into elevators or grocery stores or a bar, and it's all, you never realize it's just always playing somewhere. I mean, you can literally run into ABBA music playing somewhere almost every single day of your life. And I was even running a race in Florida. We played in Florida, and one of the water stations had like Dancing Queen playing. I'm going, what? It's truly everywhere. But you know, I always, you know, enjoyed it, and I never enjoyed it more than when I got the show, and then really had to study, you know, the backup vocals and really listen to all the intricacies and all the different keyboard sounds and instrumental parts. Then I really got to know it. I mean, I never really knew Chiquitita very well, and I love singing that song. It's my favorite one to sing, just because of all the backups that are happening behind it are just really groovy, and so I've really gotten to appreciate it in a way I never did before.
What about you, Ethan? When were you introduced to?
I think same way. I knew a couple of ABBA songs here and there, but
just by being alive.
But yeah, by being alive.
Wrong story.
But I remember actually seeing the London production in 2000 when I moved over there, and it was all the buzz. You know, I sat down with opening the program and all these songs that I knew, but not like know all the words or whatnot. But I was like, okay, there's no order. All the songs are alphabetically shown here. Mm-hmm. But when the play was going on, and all of a sudden, when Rosie goes, Chiquitita, tell me what's wrong. I mean, the audience just bust out laughing.
Yeah.
You know, because I think with being at 2000, it was still a fresh, you know, fresh take. Nobody has yet ever seen it. And each song that would come into the play, it, you know, it just would, everybody would just bust out laughing. I was like, oh, of course they would put that song right there, you know.
Yeah.
And it was great fun. Great fun.
It's cool to know, though, that ABBA, you know, the members of the group helped produce it, or helped write it, or however, whatever part they played in it at the beginning. So their spirit's there too.
Yeah, I mean, they are a big part of the Little Star production team that created the show. I think it took them a while to get there. As far as, you know, we know, it took Judy Kramer about 10 years to get them on board with making this play. So we're really glad they eventually said yes.
I bet you they are, too.
Yeah.
Jade in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Hello, Anne.
Hello.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I listen to you all the time.
Thank you, Jade.
Anyway, I saw Mamma Mia when it came to Columbus the first time years ago, and I wonder if this is the same touring company.
It's the same show, obviously, same costume, same blocking, same music, but it is a different cast. Our cast, we were recast when we started. When did we start, Ethan?
Last
August and yes. September 2010. It's such a blur.
No,
2010. 10. So we are kind of a fully newly cast group.
Oh, okay.
You should come see it because there'll be a lot of different takes.
Yeah, I plan on dragging my husband to see it.
You know what? All husbands get dragged, and by the end, guess who are the first people up and, like, shaking their booties? It's the husbands.
Because at the end, you do the sing-along songs.
Or at least,
I love that part.
Jake?
Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Take care. Let's listen to one more. Let's listen to the title song of the musical Mamma Mia, performed by the Broadway cast this time. Yay. The music from the musical, it's so much fun. It's so high energy. Is there, did I ask you yet what your favorite is already?
Mm. Not really. Although I think I might have said it. Mine is Chiquitita.
Chiquitita, right?
That's fun.
Just the bit for the music of it. I mean, when I got the show, I got the Broadway cast recording, and I said, okay, I better listen to these songs. And I thought, oh, this is the grooviest song. It's got such a cool beat to it. I just really loved it.
I think, yeah, physically, it's definitely Does Your Mother Know, because it's fun, it's comical, but to sing, I have to say it's Our Last Summer with it's the harmonies for us to sing, it's gorgeous, and then I do look forward to singing that song every night.
Yeah, do you ever, how long are you going to be in the cast? How long does it last that you're with them? And do you ever get, in all the shows you've done, do you ever get tired of doing the show?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, usually the fatigue for me comes before the show starts. But once we start, then you see the audience and you realize, look at how many people dressed up and came to see us. And so you're like, okay, it's on. Well, I'm going to give my best, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, especially in between shows, it's like, oh, my gosh, we have another show today. But if you just can get some, you know, Diet Coke in you or something. Then
a good sandwich, yeah, and work out. And I think we do get tired, but once I step on stage, it's – doesn't matter. It does not matter.
Now, every show I ever go to in Columbus, they always say, hey, Columbus, you're the best audience ever, blah, blah. And we know you're just saying that.
No.
But
Columbus is great.
Are there better towns than others? I mean.
Yes, definitely.
Yes.
It's just different. They I think everybody enjoys themselves. Some are more reserved and some more like they're at a stadium playing, you know, yelling at a football team.
It's hard when we play, it's hard when we play Florida. There's a lot of very elderly, retired, maybe 80 and up people. So they're not going to be screaming and completely getting up to dance in the aisles, but they enjoy it. I mean, they enjoy it. It's just a different energy, you know. They're listening more than singing along sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And then just as far as getting tired of the music itself, does that happen? Or it sounds like you guys are still very into what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, given the strains of the job itself, you still like the songs.
Yeah, I do.
Is that true of everything, every show you do?
Sometimes. Well, I remember when I did We Will Rock You, it was jukebox musical to Queen, and I did that show for a year. So after I step off of that show, I told myself I just need to not listen to another Queen song for a while.
Yeah,
I think it happens to everybody.
These songs really stick in your head. I mean, when we were rehearsing, I didn't sleep a couple of nights when we first started because these songs are just going over and over in your head. You can't get them out. So.
That's the same thing, like leaving, you know, going home that night after I saw it on Tuesday night. I was, you know, dreaming it practically. Email from Peggy. My dad is a huge ABBA fan, and we've seen the musical twice when it's come to Columbus. For my wedding this past August, I asked him what song he wanted to dance for the father-daughter dance, and he suggested Take a Chance on Me, saying that life is a series of taking a chance on things like marriage, etc. We did dance to this song. It was lighthearted and fun, and guests of all generations knew the song. People at the wedding told us it was the best father-daughter dance they had ever seen. Thanks to Mamma Mia for keeping these songs current.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's an interesting legacy. After this, you take a 2-week break, and then where are you headed? What is it then?
Montreal is our next. I can't wait. I've never been there. I'm
me either.
Excited.
I think there would be a lot of snow.
Maybe.
Hopefully.
Maybe. At least it'll be freezing at the very least.
Guaranteed.
And when you're off for 2 weeks, what do you do to stay in shape for it?
Ethan and I both frequent the gym a lot. So
we're gym fanatics.
You sing every day. You keep your voice.
On the break, I will probably try not to sing. As much as I can. You know, doing a good warm-up is always good, but I'm really going to give my vocal cords a nice rest on the break. So. Yeah.
And where's home?
I'm from Mason City, Iowa, so I'm a Midwesterner. And I'll be going there.
Yeah, I'm Southerner. Going back to Atlanta to spend some time with my family and then Vegas for New Year's Eve.
Oh, no. No rest for the weary.
Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Allison Ewing, she plays the character of Tanya in the touring company of Mamma Mia. Thanks again, Allison.
You're welcome. This
and
is great.
Also, Ethan Lee Fong, he plays Pepper in the show. Thanks for joining us, Ethan. And I want to remind folks that the Mamma Mia touring cast will present Broadway Babes in Toyland. It's a cabaret tonight at 11:30 p.m. at the Level Dining Lounge. $10 donation at the door because all proceeds benefit Huck House. It's a safe place for runaway youth in Columbus. For more information, go to our website at WOSU.org/allsides. When we return, we're going to talk about gifts for foster kids, what they need and how you can help. Stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
This is the song, la 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 la, Elmo's song.
On the next Fresh Air, we hear from Muppeteer Kevin Clash, who performs Sesame Street's Elmo and is the subject of the new documentary, Being Elmo. He'll bring Elmo to the interview. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
Catchy. He loves to sing, la 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 la, Elmo's song.
Always singing.
La 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 la, la 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 la.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes, starting at noon on 89.7 NPR News. Many Happy Returns to Lazarus tells how Simon Lazarus came to Columbus from Prussia and opened a store on High Street in 1851. Sunday evening, watch a show about how the Lazarus Building in the heart of the city would find a place in the heart of generations of Central Ohioans. Lazarus became the place of milestones. First haircut, first bus ride alone, getting a summer job, and buying an interview suit. Take a trip down memory lane and watch Many Happy Returns to Lazarus. Sunday evening at 7 on WOSU-TV.
Support for 89.7 comes from Columbus College of Art and Design, where the spring semester of Saturday morning art classes for children and youth begins February 4th. Information and online registration are available at www.ccad.edu.
Occasional showers today and steady temperatures right around 57 degrees. Clouds tonight cooling off to an overnight low of 31. Mostly sunny for Friday, but a cooler day, a high of just 39. Partly cloudy Friday night and a low of 28. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us.
Every year, hundreds of kids are cared for through the Franklin County Children's Services Foster Care Program, and every year, Children's Services Holiday Wish Program scrapes by to make sure every child has a special gift on Christmas morning. These are the kids separated from their families, their parents, and often siblings for a host of reasons, often neglect and abuse. Joining us now to talk about the program is Elizabeth Crabtree. She's director of the Holiday Wish Program for the Franklin County Children's Services. Welcome to the show, Beth.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
And also with us, Kate Gatch. She's founder and executive director of Bike Lady, Inc. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Welcome back, Kate.
Thanks, Ann.
For our listeners, I have a question for you. Have you been a foster child? Tell us what it was like at Christmas time. Do you remember a special gift that made the holidays brighter? Give us a call and share your story. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And for that matter, maybe you're a foster parent and you have a story about what it means to a foster child at Christmas time, the holiday time, to get that special gift. You can go to our Facebook page if you want to post it there, or you could tweet me at Ann Fisher, WOSU. So, Beth Crabtree, how many kids are we talking about this year?
Last year we served just under 5,000 children. We expect to break that this year because there is such a need out there, not just for our foster children, but for our biological families and our kinship families as well. Families are really struggling to provide gifts for the holidays. It's something that, when you look at basic needs, is one of the first things to go this time of year. So there is such a need that we're looking to break about 5,000 kids this year.
On Talk of the Nation, I think Neil Conan referred to it as, for the first time, a lot of kids this year are going to find out that they're actually poor.
Yeah.
And Christmas is the time when it usually hits.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants to make their wishes come true.
They do. And, you know, we kids see so much on movies and those types of things. There's an expectation sometimes that those presents are going to arrive. And having worked in direct service for 9 years, I did go out to homes where if it wasn't for Holiday Wish, the kids would have gotten no gifts for the holidays. And I saw that quite often.
So where is the greatest need? You serve a wide range of children, from ages to personalities to need.
Right. I do have to say our community has been wonderful this year. We have every child that we've had an open case on, 11 and under, who's requested a particular gift. Every single one of those children has been matched at this point in time. We have a lot of emergency gifts for our kids 11 and under as well. Where we have a great need right now is for our kids 12 and older, because we give them a $50 gift card. They are hard kids to shop for, and we want to make sure what they get for the holiday season is exactly what they really want. And for some of them, it's things simple, like they'll go to Walmart and buy hair things and, other things that we might take for granted as adults when we're able to get those for ourselves. So the great need right now is to donate monetarily for those gift cards.
If people have gift cards they're not using, like so many of us don't, do you take those?
Yes.
Okay. Where should people send them? Where can they go to get more information about how to help?
They can call us at 614-275-2525. They can also visit us online, and it's a long address, but it's franklinCountyOhio.gov/children_services. So you can visit us there online. You can also come down to our office and drop things off or mail them in at 855 West Mound Street, Columbus, Ohio, 43223.
We will post all that information as well, the links and so forth, at our website at WOSU.org/allsides. So you don't have to worry about it. Ours is still sort of simple. My guest, Elizabeth Crabtree. She's director of the Holiday Wish Program for Franklin County Children's Services. And also with us, Kate Gatch, executive director of Bike Lady. Now, before we get into the bike issue, which we want to talk about, what kind of restrictions are there? I mean, when people want to give gifts, say we're still back at the stage where you're accepting gifts and you need gifts for the children, can people give anything they want?
We are always accepting gifts because we have so many kids that we serve. They can give.
And there's always next year.
There's always next year. There's also, you know, over the weekend, we are a 24-hour agency. Our intake department is still going out on Christmas Eve, on Christmas Day. And there are times that we have kids come into placement on the weekend where we want to make sure that we have gifts just kind of set aside so that they don't walk away empty-handed, because they've already gone through something traumatic. We want to make sure that they have a good holiday.
And when they get them, are they wrapped? And
it depends. When they get a match gift, it is wrapped. But all the other gifts that we get, we ask for new toys. We ask them to be unwrapped so that we can we're serving 5,000 kids. We have to put them out on shelves and space them out by age, and we want to make sure that it's if it's an African-American little girl and she wants a doll that is an African-American little girl doll kind of thing. So, mm-hmm. And there's always a need for, by the way, African-American dolls. So if people have some of those or would like to go get some, that's something we definitely have a need for.
But used things, no.
We don't have a way to sterilize them or ensure that they're safe to give to our kids. So that's something that we've really shied away from over the last few years and something we're no longer accepting.
Now, you've had some tough years out there where, you know, so this year is a good year.
Well, so far we're doing good. We still have a lot of need that we need to address. And we're still, you know, like I said, we still need monetary donations. We're a little behind with that. But at the same time, I've also been, and this is my first year, very pleased with the generosity of our community. We were very behind around Thanksgiving. We needed 680 kids matched. 2 weeks later, I think almost all of them were matched. So that's a community really stepping up and saying, we want to make sure our kids are matched with a particular gift. And those are kids 11 and under who have an open case that we've been working with for a while.
I'm always surprised to say, I mean, reminded of how surprised I was when I found out the things that foster kids are not allowed to do that
right.
we take for granted, doing sleepovers,
right.
swimming in swimming pools, jumping on trampolines. I mean, it goes on and on and on because of the liability issues.
Right.
But they can ride bikes.
They can ride bikes. We want to ensure they're doing it safely.
Right.
And that's something that Kate has been wonderful with doing, making sure that bikes come with helmets, they have bike locks, and, you know, she's been just a great partner for our agency.
Kate, tell us your story, how you got started with the bikes and filling that need.
4 years ago, my former spouse and I adopted a child, and we wanted to give something a little extra back for holiday wish for other kids. And in discussions with my caseworker, you know, we talked about the bikes. So here's one thing that these kids can do without a FBI background check supervisor monitoring their every move. Just like any other kid, they can go ride a bike around the block. So I went to go buy 10 bikes and walked out of the store with 26. And there's this fabulous former columnist for the Dispatch. Her name's Ann Fisher. And she got wind of the story and wrote a column, and it was astounding to me, the community response of perfect strangers sent me checks and said, go buy more bikes. And I think it comes down to everyone remembers their first bike. Most people can tell me the year, the circumstances, the holiday, the color, the style, the brother or sister who fought over it, you name it, they remember it. And that's such a strong, positive childhood memory that lasts your lifetime. And these kids don't have positive childhood memories in great supply. So it's something that has just sort of snowballed and took on a life of its own, and I just kind of make sure it keeps rolling. But it really does it by itself. It's this community, the cycling community, other people that the idea resonated with, that they just keep coming back year after year.
I always liked the story you told about, I think you went to a Walmart or something like that, and you were buying all these bikes, and people just started watching.
It was like I was, you know, Paris Hilton or something, you know.
And they wondered,
like, what are you doing? Crazy lady. So,
and you told them.
I told them, and there was people that came up. And, in fact, I remember the pharmacist at Walmart, you know, the pharmacy is right there in front of the checkout, and we're just rolling bikes out of the store. And he came up, here's 5 bikes. Can you buy another bike, you know, and a couple other people, too. And people came up and just shook my hand and said, this is really neat what you're doing. And, you know, that's a great feeling that people can appreciate it, and maybe it inspires them to do something similar.
That was 3 years ago. How many bikes?
It was 4 years ago now?
Yeah, okay. How many?
We did our first delivery down to Holiday Wish for this holiday year last Friday, and we delivered 136 bikes last Friday, and we're going to try and repeat it tomorrow if we get enough money in tonight. That was, to date, we have delivered 1,001 bikes, helmets, and locks
in four years.
Yeah, we'd like to get over 500 bikes this year. We did 524 last year. And so I kind of told them, okay, we'll go for 500. So then they kind of start, you know, the caseworkers get in their mind, okay, what kinship family, what child, what kid available for adoption maybe needs an extra pick-me-up, and they start making their lists of potential bike recipients. And And if we get enough bikes in, then they get them. If we don't, then maybe next year.
So a lot of people give you cash, but some people actually go out and buy the bikes,
they
too.
Do.
You'll take it either way.
Uh-huh, yeah. Take it either way. Some people, I have a few families that have done it every year, and they really enjoy taking their kids. And they go and they let their kids pick out a bike for, you know, a comparable age child. And they take them down to Holiday Wish. This is a great empathetic teaching moment for these children to learn, you know, how kids get involved with children's services and that they're not bad kids. And I really like that. I have a couple of cycling groups that, you know, they'll go out and buy some bikes. Trek Cycle Store and Team Echelon, a professional team, they always give bikes. And then the Harmony Project, we had David on the other night, last night was his counselor, was great. I don't know how many is coming from them, but I expect it to be 50 to 75 range.
Yeah, some of the proceeds from their winter concert last night and tonight.
Yeah.
We'll go to Toys and Bikes for Franklin County Children's Services Holiday Wish. Have you been a foster child yourself out there? And if so, what happened at Christmas time? You know, do you have any memories of what it was like that you'd like to share with the rest of us? Give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org, too. And if you're a foster parent and you're listening, we'd love to hear your stories about your kids and what they need this time of year and how the rest of us can help. You can also go on to line to our Facebook page, All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page, and post your question or your comment there. We appreciate it. So what kind of bikes are you looking for? How do you know which kinds to buy and what sizes and what helmet sizes and all of that rigmarole?
The beauty of what I do is I don't have to worry about that. They got to worry about
that. So you just order up what you'd like and...
We kind of have it down. We do more than 50% adult size bikes. Yeah. Those will go to teens, you know. So we do 24 and 26 inch wheel diameter. Better than half are that size. I mean, we don't do a whole lot of little tricycle type stuff. And the split for gender is pretty much 50-50.
Yeah.
Freedom of Karn, did I say?
Freedom McCarney.
She's director.
She's the director of the kinship care department.
They, you know,
and that's where families are taking care of
relatives. You know, I just show up with trucks full of bikes. It's these guys that got to get them out the door and get them matched up. And Frida's
and it's a wonderful
astounding.
Job.
How does it work?
Well, what we do is it starts with our kinship families because there is such a need with them. You know, I always compare it to if I woke up tomorrow morning and had to take in my nieces and nephew, I would be in a rough position. So they are taking care of their relative kids. So they do take quite a few bikes. And that's really just based on need. And Frida knows her family, so she does a really good job of reaching out to them. And it's a powerful thing to watch someone who can't provide a bike for the children they're taking care of to come in and pick up bikes. I mean, people cry, people get emotional, and it's been very powerful for me to watch. And then we reach out to the caseworkers and say, okay, you know, what foster children do you have that really need a bike? And going to the teenagers, it really offers them a lot of mobility they wouldn't normally have.
They don't have to rely on the buses and that sort of thing to get to a job or
a football game, or not a game necessarily because they'd have to have a supervisor there to go to a game, but they could go to football practice, so then they can be on a team. And so then, you know, you could use the metaphor of the gift of the bicycle kind of keeps rolling. It keeps coasting downhill because now you have a kid that can be on an extracurricular activity, school supervised. Well, you know, how does that affect their life long term? Probably in some powerful ways for some of these kids.
Your daughter, the daughter you adopted when this idea occurred to you, she's now five?
She turns four at Christmas. She's my Christmas baby.
Okay. Is she conscious now of what you do?
She calls herself the bike girl. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every once in a while she'll say, Mommy, you're the bike lady. She is. She knows. And it's... on a personal level for me to continue doing this also, and I have a second child adopted also from who's two, my son. It's a way for my children to be connected to the agency in an extremely positive manner because that agency was their first family. It was their first home before they came to my life. So, you know, and hopefully she'll grow up always being part of Bike Lady. Hopefully there's always a Bike Lady.
If you want to give us a call, we have a few minutes left, 614-292-8513, or you can email us again at allsides@wosu.org. I'm talking with Kate Getch. She's the executive director and founder of Bike Lady, Inc., and also Beth Crabtree. She's director of the Holiday Wish program for the Franklin County Children's Services. What are the different ways, again, that people can donate? We're going to put that website on our website at wosu.org/allsides. But if people want to just give money?
People can give money. They can do that online. They can send us a check. And, of course, if you itemize your taxes, you can get a tax deduction for that. We also are taking emergency toys, and those are unwrapped toys. Children 6 to 11 are hard to get toys
and
for,
like,
especially
what sort
boys.
Of things are they looking at these days?
Handheld games. Trying to think of what else. Legos. Now, Legos at that age –
you're starting to get away.
Yeah, they're starting to get away. Games are really cool for them to have, sports things. I think with such a concern with our kids' health in general, getting them up and moving, so sports items are also great to have for them.
Kate, you don't take used bikes. Why?
Santa Claus doesn't bring used toys. I mean, may not. I don't necessarily remember the first used bike I got because I'm the youngest of six kids.
Yeah, me too. Mine was a red bomber, but I do remember the first news. I don't remember when I got it, but I remember the first new one. You're right.
I think these kids, first of all, getting food on the table for a lot of them, that's their first priority. They deal with an awful lot of used stuff, previously owned stuff in their life, and I think they need a new bike.
And helmets.
And helmets.
Those aren't cheap. And a lock, that's right.
No, the helmets are expensive.
So when someone when they get the bike, they automatically get the helmet and the lock?
Yeah, we follow up with them to make sure that they get the helmet and the lock. The helmets are coming a little later this year, so we'll follow, because we track where the bikes go, we will follow up with the helmet.
So you're ordering the helmets as one. You're not buying them individually anymore?
No, I get the helmets actually from Bell Helmets, and they're manufacturing. They have a good 501c3 charitable program to get them at a cheaper price. But they take a while to come in, and, I only start raising money for Bike Lady every year at Thanksgiving, so I got to get the money before I can buy the helmets. It's a chicken and egg type thing. So helmets are coming in late this year. Locks are already in, so those are going out with the bikes. But they'll match up the helmets. They do a great job at that. They're amazing.
And they're all gone by the time Christmas hits.
They're gone day they come in.
They are. They're gone really quickly.
They are.
And we're still getting calls asking to see when more bikes are coming in, and everyone knows that they're coming in tomorrow. There's such a need for that, and there's such a desire, and it's so exciting to see them all lined up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's better than, shiny two wheels underneath the tree on Christmas morning, if you have a tree. Lots of these families would not even have a tree. They might have a little plastic plant or something, but it's cool. I mean, it is. And we never meet the kids. Well, I don't. I mean, they know them, but and donors who give to Bike Lady. You don't meet these kids. These kids don't know who the Bike Lady is. Most of their caregivers don't even know who the Bike Lady is. But you can wake up one Christmas morning and you can think, well, hot damn, 500 kids are waking up seeing something that not a chance did they expect that to see. Maybe there really is a Santa Claus.
Well, thank you, Kate Getch, for continuing to do your good works.
Thanks, Ann, for having us here.
Kate's the executive director of Bike Lady, Inc., and also Beth Crabtree. She's the new director of the Holiday Wish Program for the Franklin County Children's Services. Beth, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks to everybody for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1 Columbus, streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.